For a moment, let's turn to the Lord's Word today. And if you are physically able, I'm going to ask if you will to stand with us as we read from the third letter of John, as he refers to himself here as the elder. And we're going to read verses 1 through verse 8, as John writes to the beloved Gaius. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. And all of God's children said, Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his precious word today. You may be seated. John had heard, as the church assembled, some people come and proclaimed of how Gaius and the church there had treated them in a worthy manner. They had met needs and sent them on their way in a beautiful way as fellow workers with Christ. And John writes to Gaius to commend him of these things. He says, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are. Gaius and the local congregation there didn't necessarily know these people. They came to them. Who are these people? Well, we're not given their names, but they were either moving preachers or they were missionaries or church planters. And they came to the church there, and Gaius and the local body met their needs and sent them on their way in a way that was worthy of what God expects. Do you get that? That's what God expects for his people to do, to partner together. You see, these people had gone out for the name of Jesus Christ. And they were accepting nothing from the Gentiles. And by that, the scriptures basically mean, as John writes, that they weren't up there just drumming money up from the world. But they were living by faith and going on faith, partnering with people of God, other people who were working for the name, serving the name, worshiping the name of Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, we ought to support people like these itinerant pastors, preachers, these evangelists, missionaries, church planters. Why? That we may be fellow workers for the truth. You see, we were made to partner together, whether that be in the local congregation or as a percentage of your tithes and offerings each week go into the cooperative program. And that money is dispersed through our state, through our nation, through our world when we take up mission offerings like Annie Armstrong and Lottie Moon and others. Those monies are going to support people that are working for the name, and we are fellow workers with them. You know, I believe why it's easy for churches to get sick. Have you ever noticed, and I have this tendency, when people struggle with depression or anxiety, what's the first thing that happens most of the time? It's so easy to do. We isolate ourselves. We start being alone, locking the door, not wanting to be with people. And even though that is a natural response, it actually hurts us worse in the long run, doesn't it? And so it is with the local body. We become depressed within our walls. I don't mean that we're walking away sad, but there's no joy in the church because we've isolated ourselves. We're worried about what's happening in here only. We're working only for our stuff, as we think it is many times, and we become isolated. We become depressed, so to speak. We lose the joy in the work of the Lord. We're not partnering with other people. And so partnering is important. We do that through the cooperative program, but there are other ways as well that we're celebrating today. There were major shifts in the International Mission Board a few years ago, and several long-term missionaries had to be pulled off of several parts of the world and put in other areas. And one of those ways is that we lost long-term missionaries in Mexico. Now, what they were encouraging churches to do, local churches to do, is what we read about here, was to physically partner with churches in not only Mexico, but other parts of the world. And so that was a burden on myself. But I knew that we couldn't probably fully support or help or be a good partner just with our church. So then formed, about 3 years ago, the forming of our partnership with four other churches, Pilot Knob, Berea Baptist, Mount Tabor, Bethel, and ourselves. And we five men came together with a burden to partner with churches, and we went on vision trips. And I went on one vision trip, and we just couldn't get a peace with the people that we were meeting with, that these were the people we were to partner with. And then as Greg Lakes and little Joe Tuttle, they went back on a second mission trip, and we got connected with Pastor Vicente and Sylvia, and what a joy it's been. Sylvia was up here a couple of years ago, not last year, and there's a reason for that. It's because they were going through the adoption process, and they have a beautiful little girl now, Abby Grace, and she is a doll. And so 2 years ago, Sylvia was up here getting ready for our first mission trip with our teams from the churches down up here to go down there. And she visited, I think, with Pilot Knob and also with who else? Where else were you? Mount Tabor. So when Vernon and Larry and I were down on the mission trip just several weeks ago or a couple of months ago, I said, next time you get to Kentucky, I get you. And so it is with joy and privilege and honor to welcome today Sylvia Castro from Salamanca, Mexico. Would you make Sylvia welcome today? There's your mic. You can sit right there. Okay. We're doing this a little different today. If some of you are visiting, no, I usually don't sit down while I preach or anything like that. But I wanted you all to get to know, because this is something that we miss out on many times. As wonderful as the cooperative program is, we see pictures, we see videos, but we don't often get to meet people face to face. And so this is really wonderful, and what a blessing to have you with us today, Sylvia, from the God is Love Baptist Church in Salamanca, Mexico. Sylvia, where are you originally from? Tell them.
I'm originally from Texas, y'all. Even though yesterday Brother Bill from Berea was trying to teach me it's Louisville. Did I say that right? Louisville?
Louisville.
Louisville. There you go. I'm learning. He says, you're going to have to learn how to speak Kentuckian.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. But no, I'm originally from Texas, fourth generation American. So Texas is my home. And a lot of people say, well, you know, you went to Mexico, you're Hispanic, so you got this down. No, I'm American. And so it was a big challenge for me personally, because it is working in a different mission field, in a different culture. And I am used to the integrity of certain things, and especially if our the area that we work in is just, the integrity is just not there in either the government or the police officers, et cetera. And so I was just raised in a small town of Greenville, Texas, 28,000 people, very southern, very eastern. And it was just, again, going to Mexico was a challenge for me personally.
Now, you met Vicente what year?
We met at church in Texas, yeah, in youth ministry. In 1998. So we've been married for 18 years. I got married when I was 18.
Yeah. And then Vicente, and you answered the call to ministry about what time?
Before getting married, we had like a little list of things we wanted to do. I had to take them to the Barnes and Nobles. I don't even know if I'm
Barnes
saying.
Barnes and Nobles? Yeah.
Barnes and Nobles Circus. No.
Oh, Barnum Circus.
Barnum Circus. I had to take them to that. And one thing us also God just put in our list of things that we wanted to do as a couple was do missionary work. Mm. And we had to go down to Mexico to renew and get ready for his visa. And as we were passing through the town, and I know God always works with me first because I'm so passionate about the things I do, God began to just say, Sylvia, I think you're going to stay here. I told this 2-3 years ago at Pilot Knob, and I said, I remember seeing a huge statue of the saint of the dead, and we passed by through Aguascalientes, which is about 4 hours from our town, and it was a statue that was in the middle of a park, of a city park, mm-hmm. and to see this huge saint that they worship of the dead, God just began to say, Sylvia, you got to stay, the need. And so I remember as we were going through that process of the visa, and we still had to wait a couple of months in Mexico, I called my pastor and I said, I don't think we're coming back home. And he's like, listen, I know you're all emotional. I know you're all, you know, you're enjoying the little adventure that God's taking you. You're blessing the children and you're working in the church there and you're supporting there the months that you're there. But, you know, it's just a little mission trip, but you're coming home. And no. We knew prior to his visa was not approved, and then we also kind of rejected it at the same time mm-hmm. because we knew that God wanted us to be there. We knew that it was time. We knew that this was the time that God said, you remember that list you made mm-hmm. at that time 12 years ago? Well, I remember that list, and maybe you as a couple forgot about that list, but I remember your hearts. Before getting married, y'all prayed about missionary work. Y'all prayed about what y'all wanted to do. And so, yes, God just kind of tugged on our hearts, and we both decided. And then years later, which was about 4 years ago, we received an approval for our visa for him to come back. And we kind of prolonged that and said, no, it's not his timing.
Amen.
Right now, he wants us there.
And you were part of a local church there, but then they planted a church that you all began to pastor. You had a mother church there in Salamanca, correct?
So when my husband accepted the Lord, he accepted the Lord probably about 28 years ago, 27 years ago. Maybe I'm off on numbers, but a couple of 20-something years. He was in Mexico, and he started working with our mother church, which is Oreb, in Salamanca. And that church had two missions. When one was Dios es Amor, and the other one was Jesús el Buen Pastor, which is Christ the Good Shepherd. And so when my husband and I returned after 17 years, he said, hey, I'm here, and I just want to come back and start serving again in the missions field where y'all already have a church. I mean, y'all have a mission field. So they knew him already prior. They knew that he was working with them when he was younger. And so it was like a home church, and they said, you know what? We know your heart. We know the gifts and talents that God has given you. And so come on, let's just start serving. And so he started working at both mission churches, there were missionary churches at that time. And so both communities were in need of a pastor, and God placed in his heart to work at Dios es Amor, which is God is Love in Salamanca. Still, again, for me, that was like, no, let's just stay at the other little mission because, you know, that's your hometown and your mom lives there. And God put in his heart and said, no, we're leaving, and we're going to leave about 45 minutes away from your mom. My mother-in-law, who's to me, I call her mom. She cooks delicious, and she takes care of us. And she took care of us, just breakfast.
And you remember we walked in one night at the house, and Vernon looked at Vicente's mom, and she's what, 77?
She's 77.
And he said, hello, Mamacita. And I said, you just called his mother Hot Mama. And Vernon said, I did not. I said, yes, you did. Ask Sylvia. He said, I didn't know what that meant.
Now, she was tickled. She is an amazing woman, and she's so down to earth. And she thought that was the cutest thing, and she just wanted a hug and just give a big old hug and a kiss to Vernon. And so
well,
she
sure
thought,
she did.
We've had some adventures with Vernon in Mexico. So I personally think that she just loved the attention. And she just, again, she's a sweet mom. And so I really wanted to stay with her. Yeah. And but God, again, has a way of working. When we started with God is Love, and I think this is just interesting how God's timing is perfect. We got there, started working, and a month later, our youth leader, who was at that time 43, was diagnosed with liver cancer. Then her mom, who was 64, was diagnosed with bladder cancer a month later. And then her sister, a month later, in the same year, so we're going back to back, whole family, they all attend church, was diagnosed with leukemia at 34. So they were all active members. It was a small mission of 32. And half of the mission were church members. I mean, were family members. And three of the family members had cancer all at the same time. And we just arrived. So for the first time in our lives, we experienced death personally. In December, the 43-year-old, the youth leader or the youth counselors, she passed away. Then the sister, and then the mom within 3 months. So the church or the mission at that time received a huge loss, And we suffered with them, and we suffered in losing family members, losing church members. And we began to see how God began to unite us and begin to create what is now our theme and what is now our vision. We are a family reaching, strengthening, and restoring families with the love of God.
Amen. And you all, it is evident when we've been there that you do have, you and Vicente have pastor's hearts. You love your people, and you want to disciple them and minister to them. Sylvia, before we go any farther, now that they've got to know you a little bit and how you got to where you are today, I asked Jen earlier in the week, and our WMU ladies want to present you in our church with a couple of gifts, and one for Abby Grace. Now, Abby's not with you today. Is she back in Texas with your mother?
She is, and my mother only sees her only granddaughter about 2 to 3 times a year, if that. And so, thank you.
Amen.
For all that you do down there, and we pray for you all. And so joyous when we saw on Facebook that you had little Abby Grace. And we wanted to give you a little something to help you remember us by. But you can take this to Abby Grace. I don't think, if you want to pull that out, I don't think she'll mind that you open it.
Oh, she loves
that. Was handmade here in Berea.
Thank you. She loves animals. Oh, well, she loves animals.
Good. And there is a little something for you.
Pull that out.
I'm going to stand over on this side so Brother Allen can see.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that was handmade here in Berea, too.
Oh, thank you so much. Little fishes and a little
loaves.
Necklace.
5 loaves of bread and 2.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Yeah. Oh, that is so beautiful.
Yeah.
I cry.
They had a few crosses, and I thought, you probably have a bunch of crosses. You can always use more.
But that's, but thank you.
Those are the fishes, and what I saw first, he had the earrings made. They're segmented, so if need be an emergency, they could be divided between the thousands.
Amen. Thank you.
Put that one together for me. I went through all those little bags of beads and okay, this morning. Okay, Larry came in there. Are you almost ready? I said, "We're doing business."
Amen.
Well, thank you.
Thank you
so
Jean.
Much.
Thank you.
Well, Sylvia, let's talk about the work a little bit. Based on Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same. What is it?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, today, and forever. And since the creation of man in his image and the fall, God's been working among his people. And God's still working among his people. And there's still a great work for all of us who bear the name of Jesus Christ to do. So what has God done in Salamanca? I know you can't go through everything, but briefly some things. And maybe through our partnership through the last 3 years or so, maybe some things that God has done you'd like to share with today.
I think it really, really has been an amazing blessing to adopt. And I say the word adopt because you were reading earlier partnership. I don't think in the last 3 years, or it'll be 3 years in July, we have had a partnership. I think we've had an adoption of family members. Mm-hmm. And I say family members because I believe that you are our family. Mm-hmm. And I believe that every church that has adopted us or has partnered with us, if we want to make it a little clearer, every face that we've seen, we've seen your church. We've seen, we not only have seen Pastor Allen go and Brother Vernie and Brother Bill and Brother Larry, we've seen your churches go with us. Your body has gone with us and gone to work and serve together and really feel that love. And that's how our church sees y'all as a family. We've had two prayer trips. And each prayer trip that we've had done, we've seen how God has worked, and both have been with Westside, the prayer trips. The first time I said, okay, God, I've never done this before. I don't understand what you want us to do with just going to pray at different homes, but I trust in you. And so I set up a schedule for Pastor Allen and Brother Vernie and Brother Larry, and I begin to see tears go and move in different families. One family that lost Grandpa and the four children that were struggling and didn't know how to release the pain and release a big family, amazing family that serves the Lord, but they were just in that hole at that moment. And God used Brother Vernon just to hug on them and pray with them. Again, the next family that I think of, just really humble family. And she was so excited because she didn't have much to give them but beans and cactus. And they ate beans and cactus with Brother Lupita, I mean with Sister Lupita. And months later, she said, I just felt so honored that people from America would come to my humble home. And it's probably the size, you know, of this stage. Mm-hmm. And she said, I just felt as if I received the president, she said, because nobody has ever taken the time to come and visit and pray for me. She's a woman that suffered with a lot of depression. She lost her son killed through violence, lost her husband killed, who was a police officer. And so she was just in a grut, in a hole, and just to see how God used, again, the prayer team to go and to witness. And this last round, and I wanted to mention just this last round with the prayer team, we went to go pray for a home that she was feeling that there was just possession, demonic possession. And I asked her just recently, I said, how have you been feeling in your home? She says, you know, after prayer and after the trip, I've not felt a single thing.
Amen. Praise God.
And so that's just for God's glory, what God has been doing. The last years, we've seen 200 children come through VBS, through these last 2 years of VBS, and come through us. We're 25 are faithfully attending still. We've seen four families, and I say families because it's the complete family, meaning husband, wife, and all their children who attend now church. We started out with about 32, and we're now an active church of about 150 members. And that's for God's glory and what God is doing in the last 2 years. And I see that through the partnership and what God has done.
Amen. And God is still doing those things. He's moving the church towards an outward mission project. You have some wonderful inward mission projects, but now he's using you all to go outside the walls and do mission trips, strengthening families, building new leadership. So talk about that a little bit. Give some examples.
Our church is in a transitioning. It has been in an inner transitioning this year. We've been studying a lot on just strengthening the inner family and strengthening our families. We're blessed to have a congregation where we have men. Most churches are predominantly women. And in the last few years, we have seen how the men ministry has grew. We have about 45 men, and we have about 52 women. So that's a good bunch of average of 50-50.
That's unique. Yeah.
And we have seen how God has used. It started out with our women's ministry. Just to let y'all know, women, how you probably asked, how did the men come to church? We did something that I learned in Sunday school, and I'm just kind of refreshing today just to hear that. We begin to submit, and we begin just to surrender and surrender our husbands to the Lord and just begin to trust in God. And I'm not saying that we stopped working. I'm not saying that we stopped praying and we stopped being that. We just begin to say, God, they have value also. They are your creation. And their role is very important, and we need them. And that's just the way we begin to pray. And so as these women begin to pray for their husband, we had a woman that for 17 years, she attended church on her own. And now her husband is faithfully there. Within the last year, he's been faithfully there.
Amen.
And she said, it just took me to say, I surrender, God. I surrender this, and I'm going to begin to honor him in a way that, yes, he doesn't know the Lord, but I'm praying for him. I'm showing him through my lifestyle that he is valuable in Christ's eyes. And when she began to do that, he even came to us and told my husband and said, Sylvia, whatever you are teaching my wife, I know she's been a Christian for 17 years, but she now asked me a permission to go to a business meeting. And I know she's like, he said that. I know that doesn't make sense because I'm not a member of your church. Mm-hmm. But just to say, hey, honey, you know, it's okay. You know, I'm going to a business meeting. We're doing this and this. She said, when before, she didn't even comment or tell me anything about church. Mm-hmm. And so that was just very important for him, just to begin to see and feel that he had value. And God's been doing that and strengthening. Why? Because of our outer mission projects. When Pastor Allen and Brother Vernon went in April, you asked the children, I don't know if you did or somebody asked the children about their parents.
Larry did. Brother Larry. He's not here today, but Brother Larry did. I think it was Larry, wasn't it? Asked specifically about the children and their parents.
And as we were praying in that community, yeah. Brother, and I'm going to try to do this without crying, we realized that 90% of those children lived with their grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Again, God always uses me in my heart and vision-wise. And he just says, Sylvia, I need you to go and walk around in this community and ask questions, why? So after you left, I went back and I started asking, why? Well, God said, this is why, and this is why we had the partnership, and this is why I've been working with VBS, and this is why we've been having the teams come from the United States. This is one of the reasons, I believe. Why? Because the first thing, I go into the home where grandma has seven children, and I begin to ask, well, where are her parents? Well, she's addicted to drugs. Where's his parents? Oh, he's addicted to drugs. They're on meth. And just in case I didn't believe, God had one of the parents walk in, and she was paper thin, teeth, 22, just all struggling. And she just began to cry out and say, pray for me. Pray for me because I want to be delivered from this. Pastor Allen and Brother Larry and Brother Vern prayed for each child individually that day. And one of the kids' petition was that Mama would be free from meth. After going a month later and visiting and asking the children and meeting their parents and seeing them on meth and seeing them on drugs, one of the ladies, I grabbed her and I hugged her and I said, listen, God can do the impossible. She didn't want me to hug her. She was pulling away. She says, I know, but I'm ashamed of what I do. I'm ashamed of how I get the drug. So she, you know, she prostitutes. She says, I'm ashamed that my kids, I know they go to church. They've been going for the last 3 years to these vacation Bible schools. They attend faithfully. I'm ashamed and I don't want to be in this circumstance. I just prayed for her. I get the news a week later that she admitted herself to a Christian rehab.
Amen.
And before coming to this trip, I said, I have to go see her. She's been in there for a month. You know, she hugged me. She cried. And she says, I'm sorry. Because Brother Bill's here, and he's from Berea, and he's here with us. And he knows that the first VBS that we had, she was there. And she was one that was threatening us to close down our VBS. She even called the police officers on us because her child got on the bus without her permission. But see, she was so drugged up that she didn't remember she gave permission. Even the grandmother testified and said, hey, you told me that he could go. But she was making a big scene. Well, this same woman now, after 3 years, is in a drug rehab, Christian rehab. And she has accepted the Lord. She's reading scripture. She's hugged me and said, please tell the congregation I'm so sorry. And that when I get out of here, I will be part of Dios es Amor, God is Love Church. And I'm going to be there and I'm going to support y'all. And I'm going to be working side by side with those who have partnered with you, with those who have gone to go. And I said, God, thank you because your timing is perfect. So what are we doing now? God has called us after going through these months of visiting and seeing with this new group that's going in July. Our goal is to go and the way we're kind of using it, it's called Project Obrera. It's to go and ask God to reveal to us what does he want to be done in this community. Some things he has already revealed is that some of these children do not eat but one meal a day. So we want to open like a safe home, like a community, a food pantry, something that through our women ministry, they felt like, okay, we don't want to just give food, but we want to teach them how to be mothers because, again, they don't know how to cook. They don't know how to be those moms. We want to maybe do Celebrate Recovery and Bible studies and prayer there, and that's kind of like the future thing that God is calling us to do there, and maybe even open a church there or some kind of ministry there, a hope center, because we have seen that these children have been there faithfully. God opened doors. God is working in their families, but now it's our turn to reach out and go into the communities.
Amen. Your all's ministry is very... You're not just doing ministry like somebody else, but you're taking the situation you're in and doing what's needed. And transportation isn't as quite as easy for many as it is for us today. So one unique thing about their ministry, and this is actually happening more in America, that you're doing the Bible studies throughout the week. You have Bible studies almost every night of the week somewhere throughout Salamanca and other areas, where you go into the homes and other areas. And it's not only a discipleship tool, it's a very evangelistic tool. You've brought people into the church because some people will go into a home Bible study of a friend or a neighbor, and then eventually they come into the church. So they're being discipled, and then, that's your kind of your small group study, so to speak, in the homes. And then on Sundays, you come together at a rented area where we've worshiped at a couple times, and you have your celebration Sunday and you go through these studies. So it's very, very good and unique in that way. I also want to make mention of the children's ministry as well. The children's ministry that you were talking about that we were at where we prayed for each child. For those of you that that support the OCC, although that's not part of this partnership, we see how all these things begin to connect through God's work. Mm-hmm. Those kids there had received an Operation Christmas Child box and were very impacted. And in that box, they also not only received the gifts you put in those box, but they receive a Bible study and a Bible. And so we got to see that day as well. The other thing I learned that has really impacted me and learned is, you know, we think in America that if we're going to reach young people, we have to have the flashing lights and the smoke and have everything just perfect and impress people. Now, listen, we want to be clean and nice and be presented well. I understand that. But don't ever think that God's power isn't more powerful than our planning and presentation. And here was a home with holes in the walls, no door, but those kids flocked to this home to be loved on by a wonderful couple there and to be shared the gospel with and in a community that is very poverty-stricken. You have a great ministry with these kids in that area as well of getting them to church on Sunday, but that's a struggle. Transportation with the church is a struggle. There's a need for a bus, and they're still raising money to get a better bus. That's going to be some things with our partnership we're going to try to address maybe in the near future as we come together as well. But the day we were there, you loaded, how many kids were there, Vernon? You took a picture. Was there about 15 kids? 16 kids. So there's a great ministry there and a great need, and they're working it, and I'm so thankful for your work. Tell us, as we start to come to a close today, Sylvia, I don't even know what time it is. I usually preach this long anyway, so tell us some three basic ways that we can help you here today, that we can continue this partnership.
I call it the three P's. I think that more than ever, we need your prayer, and we need prayer in general, in the aspect of God just giving us the strength, the wisdom, and the boldness as a church. I think it's everywhere, but I really think that more than ever, our communities are being attacked. I told this last night to our group that's going. Out of all the times that in Salamanca, I've been there the last 7 years, it has been rated right now, just recently, the number one county of violence. After they left, they began to have a massive drug war. Just day before last Friday, 6 police officers were killed. It is not just killing, it's slaughtering. They're throwing pieces of bodies on the road. And we're not talking about at 12 o'clock midnight. We're talking about in the daytime. We're talking about at noon. It is scary. It is, and it's not far. It was right on our road. So Vicenza says, I was, you know, at working. I was just traveling to La Quinta doing some stuff where we ran at. So, again, we're in the risk right now. We're in the middle of a drug war going on. They're trying to fight territories and fight positionings. And so the innocent are being attacked. And so we need your prayer. It is obvious, the way the scripture says, that in the last days, hearts will become colder. Mm-hmm. And, again, it's not just killing, it's slaughtering. It's throwing pieces and body parts and putting big announcements. We're looking for so-and-so. Mm-hmm. This is our territory. And it's not just a certain age ranges. It's not just people who are poor. It's even professionals, because we live in a refinery town where there's a lot of engineers, and some of those engineers sell illegal gasoline to these drug lords and drug wars. And so that is what's going on. And so I ask for prayer. We also ask for provision. If God places in your heart in any way, we're leaping out in faith and doing this food pantry. The average worker in our church, even though we're 150, you say, that's a good number. Well, they work for Mazda and Honda and different places. And so they make about 800 to 1,200 pesos a week, which is about $50 a week. Now, we pay $3.25 a gallon. So we're paying the same amount of gasoline. We pay the same amount for meat. The only thing that we don't pay the same amount is for fruit and vegetables. That is very cheap. And so we're good vegetarians and vegans. We're perfect down there. So we pay the same amount when it comes to meat and gasoline. And so that is something that, as a church, just because we have that amount of members, it doesn't mean that we can reach certain things. And so we're praying that God would just give us wisdom and just help us on this project to come, and opening this safe haven and opening this place and providing food. We're trying to continue. For this trip, mission trip, we will do 2 projects, 1 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon. And the first project will be feeding the children in the morning time at this place.
Now, that's coming up in July.
That's coming up in July.
And Kim, where are you at? Kim is committed to go on that mission trip in July. Do we have anybody else going on that? Steve, you talked about, but you're not going to be able to with your new job. Papa Grande Bill, are you going on that trip? Yeah. You all know Bill. Bill Lake from Berea Baptist. Bless his heart. I love you, Bill. Bill's here today. And Sylvia's been staying with Bill and Anna as well since she's been in. So be praying for that VBS and feeding trip. That's great.
So that is what's going to be happening. And the final thing is, of course, participation. Y'all are more than welcome to come and visit. And I tell them all the time, listen, if you don't have any money, just get there. We'll take care of y'all. We'll feed you cactus, rice, and beans. I can't guarantee steak every day. I can't guarantee tacos every day. But I can guarantee a good meal, warm meal, and I can guarantee a good home you could sleep in. Sometimes there's hot water and sometimes there's not. But listen.
I didn't bathe that day. There was no hot water.
And But you will be fine, I promise. I had to learn that the hard way also. And so just an inner joke. There's a lot of hair here, and so I'm used to taking a shower and turning on the shower full blast. We all do that, don't we? We wash our hair and just leave the shower running. Well, not in Mexico. You turn it off. You turn it on. You turn it off. You turn it on. Because you know what? The first year, what happened to me is I was washing my hair, and I have quite a bit, some half shampoo, and water runs out. And I looked at my husband, and he said, there's no more water. I'm like, what are you talking about? There's no more water. I have soap in my hair. He's like, we ran out of water. And I said, well, what are we going to do now? He's, let me go to the neighbors. I'm going to take a bucket. I'm going to go get some water, and you're just going to have to rinse it out with the bucket. I learned my lessons, so I turn it off and on, off and on. We can't be wasteful with water.
Yeah.
So just participating. You are more than welcome. Again, our goal and our desire is to bless y'all in any way that we can. And y'all are more than welcome just to come and say, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even know how to do it. I don't even speak Spanish, but I just want to come and love. And I think that that has been one of the greatest encouragements for our congregation, is to see the love. And the question they're always amazed by, saying, why do people take time to come visit us? That is something that they're just, they're in shock, but then they say it's God's love. Why do people invest their money to come visit us? Why do people come and take their personal vacation time to come visit us? That says a lot to them, and that is one way that they see God's love, through your participation. So prayer, provision, and participation are the three P's.
Amen. Have you appreciated having Sylvia with us today? As John again wrote to Gaius, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, in a way that is worthy of what God expects for his people to do for each other, those that are laboring for the name of Jesus Christ. Three things I encourage you is to do the same as what she said, to pray, to participate, and to give as well. And as you leave today, there's going to be an usher at each door. I think Jason asked some guys, Jason, one of our deacons here, and you can give, and that's going to go to help their ministry there at the church. I encourage you to give with faith and give with great joy. Pray for Kim and others from our five churches partnership that will be going to do a vacation Bible school in July and also do this feeding of the children's program. Pray that God might lay it upon other people's hearts to go do. Listen, what we did, when you tell people, what'd you do? Well, we went to homes and prayed. Is that all you did? But it was so powerful. It's like you said, it's not about the magnitude of the program. We think in America that it always has to be this big, huge program. It doesn't. It's sometimes just going face to face and talking and loving someone. And I want to say that to each of you all today, for your participation in the work and the ministry here at Westside. Quit waiting for the next big program or for me to lay out the next big thing before you reach out to somebody. It's personal, and loving them, making the call, making the visit, giving to the work here. But my goodness, what a blessing.
I wanted just to leave with this illustration that I told Pilot Knob 3 years ago. I want you to imagine as a church that we're in a well, and we have a string holding us, which is our partnership. And you're holding the other end while we're in the well.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I told Pilot Knob and I told Mount Tabor. If you let go of that string, you're going to let us fall in that well. And one way of letting go is by letting go of your local church.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that the impact you do here is the impact you're doing around the world. The more your church grows, the more we grow.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you're holding on. The more your personal strength, your personal life grows in the Lord, the more we grow. And you're probably like, well, we're far away. We don't even know each other. But the more you become spiritual, the more you become praying, the more you get involved in church, the more you witness to others, the more you're witnessing also to us.
Amen.
Because every time that they hear about the church, they hear how you're growing, they hear the unity that you have, they see Christ in you. And that, for a first-generation Christian, for a new believer, where there is predominantly no Christians, where there doesn't exist a church in every corner, like in our small communities, just in my town there's 200 churches, and they're all Protestant. Just in my town, there's 15 Baptist churches and 28,000 people.
Mm.
Okay, just in my town. That doesn't exist in Mexico. It's scarce. So for them, you're holding on to a string. You're holding us up by your testimony as a church. And I wanted to put emphasis on that, not to wait for, again, like a program, a revival, just really listening to God and what he wants you to do as an individual, as a church body member, and say, what do I need to do in my church?
Mm-hmm.
My husband always says, and I know I haven't spoken much about him, but he's an amazing, godly man, and he says, who don't serve, they don't serve.
Mm-hmm.
He pretty much says, listen, we're a body, and let me show a body where only 20% works.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist. And he tells the church all the time, if you don't serve, then you don't serve any good here. You got to serve. So we challenge our church members. This VBS, our goal is 100% to work. And you're probably like, how are you going to have 130 people working at VBS? We have some picking up the trash. We have some cleaning the restrooms. We have some saying, you know what? I can't come, but I'm going to bring you some cookies.
Yeah.
So everybody, we have some that says, I'm not going to even be able to attend because I can't move my legs. I'm weak. But I'm on my couch. And I'm going to pray for every day at this hour. I'm going to pray for every Sunday school teacher or every VBS teacher and every person that's going to go. So our goal is at 100% of the church to be working. And I challenge y'all that. I think as a church body, again, you're holding us up and we're in the well. And it has to do with your testimony as a church body.
And that's a great point. I really feel that's why so many American churches are sick today. Only 10-20% of the body is trying to drag. And I want to say there's the difference between attending church and being the church. And we are to be fellow workers together so that we can better be fellow workers with people around the world and partner and support them. So that is my challenge to you today. I'm not going to do the traditional invitation, but I am going to challenge you. This is very decisional. To not only pray and provide and participate with these ministries, but to pray, provide, and participate in your local church here, because it begins here. An unhealthy Jerusalem can't go to the other parts of the world and make a difference. And we've got to be unified together and fellow workers before we can really be strong and make the impact with other believers. So, pray for each other here. Participate here. Don't come to church. Be the church. Provide here so that we can partner with others today.
We hope you've enjoyed our service and invite you to return to our website and listen to the numerous other podcasts we have posted. If you would like to join us in person, service times and location are listed on our homepage. Thank you for listening.